wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Half-Blood Prince with
Michael Damaro,
Sarah Tompkins,
and I'm Bajaya Shrestha. This week we talk about Chapter 27, Lightning Struck Tower. We discuss Draco Malfoy and the Quidditch Cup. Continues, I guess.
Walk out of this situation.
Pick one.
Oh, it's me. I have to pick because I lost. What do you think?
It's not cute.
I don't know.
Yes.
500, probably.
Yeah. People over 500, please. Wow.
Whoa. What witch does Voldemort visit who's in possession of Hufflepuff's cup?
Ding, ding, ding.
Michael.
Hepzibah Smith. No.
Close, but
no.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
You are so good. I thought your watch came out so good.
The high five was so powerful that my watch came out.
God, my hands feel alive for the first time. She's the one who's crushing
it. I was going to.
She knew it.
Shut the fuck up. All right.
She's crushing hard on Tom Riddle.
Slug club for 300. All
right. I don't get to choose.
Oh, yeah.
Stop. He gets to choose. I just so choose to
Whoa.
Choose.
Whoa.
Whoa. All
right. Yeah, I'll go for slug club for 300.
Okay.
You
chose wrong.
No, I probably chose my doom. It's fine. All right. What Gryffindor student was initially invited to the first meeting of the Slug Club but was not invited to attend any further meetings?
Ding, ding,
oh.
Ding.
Michael.
Neville Longbottom.
Yes.
You're
like, I was like, you look so sad.
It's because I knew it, and he just went, dang. And I was like, it was like the sound that resonated in my soul.
I was stalling, because I was like, what the fuck is that kid doing?
I was like, first thing I was up at Clag, and I was like,
the saddest
no,
boy.
Not.
Chapter 27, The Lightning Struck Tower. They're out of the cave. Harry has disapparated with Dumbledore. I don't want to keep reading Dumbly as I write his name because his name is too long.
I write Dumby.
I have dog hair in my mouth.
I have to write Dumbledore because otherwise I will read whatever it is.
I write Dumby and Voldy.
Aw, cute.
I write Voldy, Dumbly, and Hermie. All right, so Harry is disapparated with Dumbledore, and they're headed to Hogsmeade. He's, like, concentrating real hard. He's like, Hogsmeade, Hogsmeade, Hogsmeade. They get there, and he immediately knows that he did it successfully because the seaside smell is gone, and he kind of, I guess, familiar smells of Hogsmeade. Dumbledore is not doing very well. He doesn't want, because Harry's like, I'll go get Madame Pomfrey in. He's like, no, I need Severus. I want Severus. So he's like, okay, well, can you just hang out here for a little bit? Can I sit you down somewhere while I go get Severus? And he just keeps going, I just need Severus. But right then, when he's about to leave to go get Snape, Madame Rosmerta comes running up and says, like, well, what happened, blah, blah, blah. And Harry's like, take him into the Three Broomsticks while I go to the castle. And she's like, don't you know what happened? The Dark Mark is above the castle. And that perks up Dumbledore a little bit. He's like, hey, Rosmerta, we need to get to the castle. And she says, well, I have broomsticks behind my bar. And he says, yes, okay, cool. We'll fly to the castle, and you need to send a message to the ministry. And because he's like, a lot of people in the castle still probably don't know what happened. He asks Harry to put on his invisibility cloak. So they fly in. Like, Dumbledore just, like, has an energy boost because of the Dark Mark, I guess. I don't know. It's his kink, y'all.
Wizard adrenaline.
So a million things are racing through Harry's mind while they're flying. He's like, someone's dead because there's a Dark Mark above the castle. But who's dead? Did the liquid luck that he gave the others run out? Blah, blah, blah. So they get to the ramparts, but it's deserted. Like, there's no one there. There's no struggle. Dumbledore tells Harry to go wake Snake up. Snake. Huh? Dumbledore tells Harry.
Dumbledore's like, yo, Snake, yo, wake up.
Dumbledore tells Harry to go wake Snape up and tell him what happened. But just as he's about to open the door to the castle from the ramparts, he hears footsteps on the other side. The door flies open and someone yells Expelliarmus. But instead of Harry's wand flying out of his hand, he instead feels his body freeze up. Apparently, Dumbledore used his last, like, his last chance of defending himself to freeze Harry instead of defending himself. And guess who?
Seems dumb.
Guess who cast the spell?
McGonagall.
It's Draco Malfoy!
What?
So there are Death Eaters in the school now, and Dumbledore's like, oh, you figured out how to do that? And Draco's like, yeah, you fucking idiot, I did it. And Draco, so they're like, the Death Eaters are fighting with some of the Order people, but Draco came ahead of them to meet Dumbledore at the ramparts because he has a job to do, you guys. He has a job. Hmm. And Dumbledore's just like, okay, do it. And Draco can't. He's like, Dumbledore's like, you're not a killer. Innocent people think that it's easy to kill, but it's not. It's hard. And you're just not that kind of a person. And Draco's like, I've done terrible things. You don't even know about it. I've done terrible things all year. And Dumbledore's like,
he leaves the toilet seat up and he doesn't put it down, even though everyone else asks him to. And guess what? Sometimes he doesn't do his homework. What?
He is such a rebel. And Dumbledore's like, I know what you've been up to. I know all of it. So he also asks, like, how did you get the Death Eaters in? And he says, well, I smuggled them inside using the Vanishing Cabinet because the other cabinet is at Borgin and Burke's, which is why he was there at the beginning of the book, and he couldn't carry it out because he would look stupid. He figured it out because Montague, I think a couple of books earlier, was in the, I think the Weasley twins maybe pushed him into the Vanishing Cabinet, and he, like, was kind of in between the two, but, like, couldn't figure out how to get out. So he had to fix the one at Hogwarts, and it kind of makes a passage between the two. And that's how they got him. He got all of the Death Eaters into the castle. And
damn.
Dumbledore's like, that's really clever. And Draco gets, like, a weirdly gets confidence from him. He's like, yeah, that was clever. I did it. And then they argue about whose side Snape is on. He's like, oh, he's a double agent. And Dumbledore's like, I'm sure he tells you that, but that's not true. Dumbledore's like, I know you're the one that gave Katie the necklace and the poison mead. And he also says, Draco tells him that Madame Rosmerta has been on under the Imperius curse, and he's been communicating with her using enchanted coins. He got that idea from the DA.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, stealing ideas. He can't even have good ideas by himself.
I know. And he got the idea of poisoning the mead that Slughorn was going to give Dumbledore from Hermione because she was talking about how, I think they were in the library, Harry and Hermione, where she was talking about how Filch can't really tell difference between potions, whether they're poisoned or, like, not. And that's how the Weasley twins have been smuggling the love potion into Hogwarts. And that's how he got that idea. So that's a double negative for Hermione.
Okay, but he needed help figuring out how to poison someone?
Well,
that's, like, one of the oldest tricks in the book.
He had to smuggle the poison in from outside.
Right.
He couldn't be like, they're like, here, Dumbledore, here's a mead I got for you. It's definitely not poisoned.
That's true, I suppose.
So he says someone is dead. Draco definitely stepped over somebody's body, and it's one of theirs. Or he says it's one of yours to Dumbledore. And now Dumbledore's like, look, let's be honest. You're not going to kill me, because if you're going to kill me, you would have done it right after you disarmed me instead of going on this long chat with me. And he wants to talk to Draco about the options he has. And Draco's like, I have to do it or Voldemort will kill me and my family. And Dumbledore says, come to the right side. Like, he says we can hide you better than you think we can alongside your family. And Draco's like, hold on, I've gotten this far and you're at my mercy, so don't tell me about my options. And Dumbledore's like, it's my mercy that matters now, not yours. And I was like, God dang, Dumbledore.
Dang.
So right then.
That's some Jesus shit.
Okay.
It's my mercy that matters, not yours? That sounds pretty Jesus-y to me.
I don't know Jesus. He's not my homie. Four Death Eaters come bursting out onto their ramparts again. It's Amicus, Electo, Fenrir, and I don't think the last one was named. Unless...
Is it the big blonde boy? Or is he downstairs still?
I think he's still downstairs. They kind of just describe her voice or his voice. I didn't, unless I missed the name, I tried to scan it a couple of times.
No, I think they specifically don't say the name.
Oh, okay. Well, Dumbledore says he is surprised that Draco would invite Fenrir to a school where his friends are. And Draco is like, I didn't know he was coming. Fenrir is really gross in this, like, exchange. Mm. He's like, he has, like, blood on his teeth, and he's, like, licking his lips, and he tells Dumbledore that he's going to have him for dessert and stuff, and I was like, ugh. Yeah. They yell at Draco to kill Dumbledore, and he still can't, and then Snape comes, then Fenrir keeps going, like, let me do it, and he actually gets blasted by one of the other wizards, and then Snape comes bursting out, and the others tell him that Draco can't do it. And he kind of, like, just pushes Draco aside, and everyone else that had been, like, telling Fenrir to, like, you know, stay put or not do anything, they, like, all let Snape pass, and even Fenrir seems, like, scared. And Snape gazes for a moment at Dumbledore, while Dumbledore, like, the other guys, the other Death Eaters are like, do it, you should do it, Snape, blah, blah, and then
you won't do it.
And then Harry just hears, like, a whisper of a plead from Dumbledore to Snape going, Severus. And which scares Harry because he's never heard Dumbledore plead with anyone before. And then...
Except for him, last chapter, so...
Snape gazes for a moment at Dumbledore. There's, like, revulsion and hate etched into his harsh lines of his face, it says in the book. And then Dumbledore says... Severus, please. And then Snape casts the killing curse, which blasts Dumbledore over the battlements and into the grounds below. And that's how the chapter ends.
Yikes.
No, Dumbledore.
It's a flesh wound. He's okay.
It's just a flesh wound.
No, not.
He's okay.
I remember vividly, like, reading this exchange of, like, him going, Severus, Severus, please, the first time, and it, like, broke my heart.
Aww.
I still was sad today, even though I know, like, why he said that, but, and what was behind it, but it's very heartbreaking to me. Anyway, so, new things is Dumbledore's dead.
We don't know that!
I'm pretty sure we know that. And then Fenrir is now attacking people on the regular and not just during full moons, because he has he has gotten a fondness for human flesh.
Oh, so is that, like, he gets the bloodlust and he can be a werewolf whenever he wants?
I don't think he can be a werewolf whenever he wants.
He just will eat people whenever he wants?
Mm-hmm.
But he's biting them with his mouth.
This is
well,
gross
I mean,
mouth.
Well, goddammit, what's a serial killer, though? Dahmer. I mean, he wasn't a werewolf and he was eating people.
That's true, but he didn't bite them.
You have to bite
he
them.
He killed them and then he bit them.
You have
them.
To bite their flesh at some point.
Yeah, but not like...
Maybe...
It's more like, stab, 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 nom, 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 as opposed to...
stab, 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 nom, nom, nom. That's hilarious. All right. So my only question is, if Draco had gone to the right side like Dumbledore had asked, because he was like, if you choose it, Dumbledore said, if you choose this, we can have people from the Order go to your mom and get her right now. And then your dad is safe right now in Azkaban. And once he's out of it, we can get him too. But would they join Draco? And I think Narcissa might, but like, how would they try to, I don't know, persuade them?
I don't think that the Malfoys would have accepted that help, and I think that they would have been in trouble. So I think that in that respect, Draco's like, you know, Dumbledore can say all that stuff, but I think maybe Narcissa would have done it for Draco, would have like stayed safe begrudgingly to be safe to be with her son. But I don't think that Lucius would have done that. And also, I mean, not to be an asshole about it, but it all works out fine for Draco anyway.
Yeah,
pretty much.
It does.
Like, he doesn't choose the right side, and it's still, I mean, maybe he feels guilty about it, but wasn't the one who actually killed it. Like, it still works out just fine for him, not choosing the right
despite
side.
Despite all of his attempted murders.
Yeah, he still gets to get married and have a kid that he sends to Hogwarts.
Well, you know, hold your horses, because we're going to talk about Draco in the segment. Come on.
Okay.
Is this, like, the best way, I mean, Dumbledore dying, like, shouldn't... I know he's gonna die anyway, right? Like, we know that.
Well...
because he's old and all people are mortals and they all die?
Dumbledore specifically says that he knew all along that Draco was burdened with this task, but he didn't want to let him know that he knew because Voldemort is so good at legitimacy, and he knew that if Voldemort knew that Dumbledore knew about...
he would come up with a different plan.
Well, no, that he would kill Draco. And
right, he would kill Draco and come up with another plan.
Yeah. So, that's what he tells
Draco. I'm just saying, like, even if he was only going to live a few more weeks, it still seems like he should have stayed alive as long as he could, considering how powerful he is.
I think he just maybe knew that he was...
why was that the only solution?
Well, I think because it cements Snape as Voldemort's person.
Right, but he already was pretty close to Voldemort.
There were still people
in his good
regard. Still people that like Bellatrix and other people that probably were still like, well, is he?
Why could Dumbledore not have faked his own?
Well, so Snape was bound to help Draco, right?
Draco, or
he would die.
Yeah, he would have died. Yeah.
So I guess if Draco had said, "Okay, I won't kill you," or whatever, then Snape could have helped him, could have continued to help him without killing Dumbledore, right? Like, does that make sense?
Yes. Sorry.
So I guess really it is Draco's fault that Dumbledore's dead.
It's Voldemort's fault.
No.
No.
I mean, if you want to go back that far, but that's, you know.
It's not neither here nor there. But do you all have any questions?
Who's dead?
It's Dumbly. Dumbly's dead.
Who's your dad?
Oh, my dad's not dead. My dad's alive.
No, I thought he's... who's dad?
Who is dad? All right, do y'all want to learn about Draco Malfoy?
Let's do it.
Do I want to?
You need to. Welcome to the segment about Draco Malfoy. A lot of the Pottermore writing was just like recapping Draco from like book one till book seven. So I cut all that out because y'all have heard of it and learned it. So I'm just going to talk about kind of what he does after the Great War, the Second Great War, and then JK's thoughts about him. World War II. No, it's called the Second Great Wizarding War, not the Great War.
He said after the Great War, and I was like, after the Great War.
Hey, they had it too. We'll find out in the next one, next segment from the next episode. So it says that the events that happened like during the Second Wizarding War changed his life forever. You know, all the beliefs that he had grown up with were challenged. He experienced terror, despair, and a lot of violence. His parents suffered for their allegiance, and he had to witness the crumbling of everything that he had known and what his family had believed in, what he had grown up with. He also learned that the people he had been raised to hate, like Dumbledore, actually offered him kindness, and Harry Potter eventually saved his life. But the people that he had been raised to, like, actually, I don't know, revere and stuff, like, were out to maybe kill him if they didn't do a crazy thing that they asked him to do. But after the Second Wizarding War, he still loved his parents, but he did not follow the same pure bloodline that his parents would have wanted him to. He married the younger sister of a fellow Slytherin named Estoria Greengrass, who also went through a similar transformation or conversion from pureblood ideals into a more tolerant life view. And Narcissa and Lucius never really thought that she was a great daughter-in-law because they wanted him to marry into one of the sacred 28, and he just didn't do that. And Estoria also refused to raise their son, Scorpius, in the belief that Muggles were scum.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty
their
nice.
Family gatherings were often fraught with tension. If you've read The Cursed Child, you know, you would know that. So these are JK's thoughts. When she started writing the series, he was obviously like your typical bully. He thought that he was superior because of his pure blood and his wealth. And when he offers Harry his friendship, because he's like, yeah, you're gonna be my friend, and he doesn't, he gets really mad. And she says everybody recognizes Draco because everybody knows someone like him. People that think that they're superior than everyone else or other people can be infuriating, laughable, or intimidating depending on the circumstances. And Draco definitely provides those moments for Harry, Hermione, and Ron in different ways, one time or another. She also says that her British editor questioned that why Draco would be so accomplished at Occlumency when Harry wasn't, because I guess we are led to believe that Harry is a better wizard than Draco. But she says that it's because Draco's like, his character is able to shut down emotion and compartmentalize and just deny parts of himself. So, like, Dumbledore tells Harry that the humanity Harry has makes him who he is, and he feels pain and everything. But Draco, he is able to shut down parts of himself that feels pain and emotion, and that is why he is so much better at Occlumency than Harry, which I think makes sense.
It does, but it really, again, goes along with my idea that therapy should really be embraced in the wizarding community.
I don't think the Malfoys would approve of therapy, really.
Compartmentalization is not for the... It's not always the best thing sometimes if it's going to lead you to be able to murder people
easily. Yeah, well, she also says with Draco, she was attempting to show that denial of pain and suppression of conflict can lead to a damaged person, which he kind of is. He doesn't realize that he becomes a true owner of Elder One, which is probably better because the Dark Lord, even if he's good at Occlumency, I think Voldemort is better at Legilimency. So if he had found out that he was the owner of the Elder One and he knew it, Draco would be dead in like 2 seconds. She does say that she pities Draco just like she pities Dudley.
The fool.
No, just like she pities Dudley. Because they were both raised by... They were the product of their upbringing. Like, they were... Draco was taught to hate, and Dudley was taught to be terrible by each of their upbringing. So they both had damaging experiences, even if they don't see it that way. The family doesn't see it that way. And then Draco goes through very terrible experiences because of his family and his upbringing. But the only saving grace for the Malfoys are that they truly, truly do love each other. Like, Narcissa risks everything to find out where Malfoy or Draco is in the Deathly Hallows. And Lucius also loves his wife and his kid. She says he remains a dubious morality in 7 published books, because even though he is kind of an evil, not evil, I guess, bad character, a bad person. There are so many people that fan girl slash fanboy about him. She says she does not discount the appeal of Tom Felton, who plays Draco brilliantly, but she thinks it's because he is the dark glamour. He has the dark glamour of the anti-hero, and people always think like, oh, there's always a like a golden heart or a heart of gold under that terrible personality and prejudice. And
what she's saying is that there isn't.
I think she's saying that there isn't, but she doesn't feel comfortable that...
Because she doesn't want to alienate half of her fans.
Well, she doesn't love that people love him, that character, and, like, kind of put him on a pedestal and say that he isn't as bad as he is when he kind of is terrible. But, you know, people are gonna people.
I mean, he's not kind of terrible. Like, he did multiple attempted murders, and in such a sloppy way that... Could have killed
if he at least
like anyone
did it in a creative, very neat way.
Could have killed
it,
like
anyone.
He
literally
the stuff he did in this book is so bad.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
bad.
I guess you could say that he was doing that because he was self defense, because he was trying to save his life, his family's life. Because if he didn't
right,
throw everything out there, then because he was put up to fail and die. So he was trying.
Right. Well, I super don't want to bring this back to the Nazis or anything, but like there were people who were in bad situations and acted pretty nobly,
right.
All things
but
considered.
But he was also brought up in with the Malfoys.
This is true.
I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm just saying you could say it.
He chose near murder.
I guess he could.
And he did it so carelessly. He almost killed Ron and Katie Bell, right? Like,
yeah, but who needs them?
He didn't care. He didn't care who he killed.
Yeah, as long as he didn't
just
die.
He's just taking blind stabs in the dark, which is pretty fucked
stab,
up.
Stab, 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 nom, nom, nom.
Blind.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
So she says that she imagines that Draco grew up to lead a modified version of his father's existence. So he's still independently wealthy, doesn't need to work, still lives at Malfoy Manor with his wife and son, and he imagines that he still has dark artifacts that he collects, but he keeps them in glass cases and does not use them. But he also has a strange interest in alchemical manuscripts. Which he doesn't ever try to make the Philosopher's Stone, but her thinking that he has an interest in it means that she thinks that he has higher hopes in like doing stuff that is other than just being wealthy and maybe be a better man. She has high hopes that he will raise Scorpius to be a much kinder and more tolerant Malfoy. And then she says Draco had many surnames before she settled on Malfoy at various times. He is Draco Smart, Sphinx, and Spongin. Those are the three last names that she thought of before. I'm very glad that she settled with Malfoy and not Smart, Sphinx, and Spongin.
Spongin?
Or Spongin. S-B-U-N-G-N. His Christian name comes from a constellation, the dragon, which is weird because his one core is unicorn. And she thinks that this is symbolic because at the risk of rekindling unhealthy fantasies, some unextinguished good at the heart of Draco. So even though his name is dragon, which they don't have to be bad, his one core is unicorn, which is good. And that is Draco Malfoy.
Fascinating.
Although Harry has the same core as Voldemort, and it doesn't make him bad. So,
well,
it doesn't seem like
that's because they. You know, so.
I know, but it doesn't seem like the wand core is really one to one. But I get what you're saying.
But yeah, I think people can do better than the situation they're raised in, but some people can't escape it, and I think maybe Draco is one of those situations. If that makes sense.
Very sad. It does make sense. Thanks, Bajaya.
Bye. Bye.
Hey Hey guys.
Hey.
Hey guys.
What's up?
Hey guys. Hey guys. I feel like we are not thankful enough in our daily life, and even on our podcast. And I feel like maybe we should be thanking our Kickstarter backers a little bit more because we have a lot more people who supported us this season.
Yeah. Are you sure?
If you're listening to this episode on Thanksgiving, tweet at Sarah Tompkins with the hashtag always thankful.
I was hoping you would do something like always. I was going to try and have my name incorporated in somewhere like Happy Thompsgivings.
Okay, no, that's the one. Happy Thompsgivings. Okay. Please tweet
please tweet
that.
Me Happy Thompsgivings. I hate it so much. There was one Thanksgiving.
Also tweeted at Pajaya. Actually, only tweeted at Pajaya.
Yes, actually, only tweeted at Pajaya. There was one Thanksgiving where my sister and I did buy our family matching t-shirts that said hashtag Tompkins, Tompkins Thanksgiving or Tompkins Family Thanksgiving. It was a really good year. I still have that t-shirt. I will post a picture of that whenever this episode
that
airs.
Was when I barely knew who Sarah was.
Yeah, and you were like, who is this weird, horrible person?
We had worked together for a year and a half.
It was a reference to Community. It was a great moment. Okay. First, I'd like to thank Brad McAlpine.
Brad.
I think it's pronounced McAlpine.
You think so?
No.
Oh. I don't know. I was going to say it sounded really cool and momentous. Michael Thomas. Thank you,
Big
Michael.
Sexy.
Yay!
Next, I'm thinking Vashti.
Or Vashti.
Well,
or Vashti.
She sent us very specific instructions on how to say her name.
Vashti, please tell us we're saying it wrong or right.
And we will forget it again next year.
I did just look up 8 YouTube videos, 6 of which told me Vashti. One said Vashti, one said Vashti, which I think is very wrong. But maybe I'm wrong. So I tried very hard, and I respect you. So please tell me if I'm pronouncing it right.
She's from Kentucky, so yay.
Is she really from Kentucky?
Yeah.
Vashti. Eric Olkowski. Eric, thank you.
It's Vashti.
No, it's not,
yeah,
is
it's
it?
It's Vashti.
Well, there
you
go.
Oh, my God. So that one video out of the 8 I watched was right?
Yeah. How did you find it?
It's because it was a Kickstarter message.
Oh my God. Can we go back? Can we rewind or should I just keep going? Vashti, I am sorry that I pronounced your name wrong. I'm sorry that the YouTube videos were all wrong. And now we know. And you are Vashti. And we remembered that. And I'm bad at pronouncing everything.
When she messaged us, I responded and said, was it Sarah or Bajaya that pronounced it wrong? And then she said, actually, it was all 3 of you. And then she said, pronounced Vash rhymes with cash and tie rhymes with tie.
Oh, okay.
Should I just go back from the beginning?
No, I think we should leave. This is all gold.
Yeah. It seems like our mispronunciation of her name is definitely gold. Vashti. Sorry. I will remember that. It's committed to my memory. Vash, cash, tie.
We're going on a journey together.
Matt. Thank you, Matt.
Yay, Matt.
Yay, Matt.
Elizabeth Emerald, which sounds like a character in Clue.
I love it. I was going to say that too. That sounds like a... Yes, I love it. Love your
or
name.
A romance novel author. If I read a romance novel, Elizabeth, that's the name I'm taking. You're not getting my cut of it this time, though. I've learned from last time. Amber. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you, Amber.
Amber.
Stu Steen.
Your name also sounds like someone from Clue. Was it Stu Steen in the library or Elizabeth Emerald in the kitchen?
The next one sounds like the person who owns the mansion who got murdered. Sorry, Jonathan. Jonathan T. Fornuff. Jonathan T. Fornuff.
Jonathan.
He is the owner. He's the rich owner of the mansion.
See you in Columbus.
Actually, how about Amber? We just skip past Amber as a character in Clue, and that's also literally a color.
Gotta be.
That's true.
Michelle Coey.
Michelle Coey, who is objectively the best person.
You are a huge, big part of our wonderful empire. I love you. I love seeing you every year at GeeklyCon.
And thank you so much for supporting us again.
Thank you.
Love you all. Thank you.
We love you all.
Joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry.
Our editor is Mitch Cahill.
Our artwork was done by Jesse Carlton, and our music was done by Sean Fagan. I know you want to help us out, so why don't you head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review? And also, send us an email so we can talk to you. You can do that by emailing us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Hey, I know you all want to keep talking to us, so find us on Twitter at PotterPod.
I'm Michael, and you can find me at Thrifty Nerd.
I'm Sarah, and you can find me at Her Lady Tompkins.
And I'm Vijaya, and you can find me at Ethnic Ninja.